Now we get to the last exercises as presented on page 32. This is based on Con Alma. Here's the pianist playing it. Here's various takes of guitarist and bassist, and then the two of them together playing the following variation on that exercise, which is on page 34.
Go 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, boom.
Final comments are as follows. in the movie A Night in Havana, excuse me, when Dizzy tells the interviewer his playing comes from his ass, and his wife got mad at him for saying that on TV. But what he really meant was, it's Kundalini energy. The energy acts as a ground wire, and it comes out of the ground and shoots through your body like a corkscrew. And sensation of well-being comes, and the music becomes perfect because you're tapping into that same place where the music comes from. And this could also be why Oscar Peterson and other jazz musicians sort of grunt when they play. They're tapping into that energy. Next is the Q&A section. 1. Transcribing is good for your ear, but you can't transcribe a touch. When you're playing someone else's rhythm, you're not playing your own, you're imitating. There's a much hipper way to learn from a rhythmic standpoint. Take a series of notes and put them in different rhythms. Ron Carter, for example, teaches you how to think, i.e. the process of improvising and remembering what you did and developing it. You can be listening to the masters and be influenced by that, and that's good, but there's a difference between emulating and imitating. Sometimes you don't need to transcribe a whole solo. You can just take one little activator and work on it for weeks, which is what Mike did with Constantinople. There's a whole generation that imitated Coltrane and lost themselves. A lot of young musicians hold very hard to transcription, but they're ignoring the rhythmic activators. Some of the stuff that's taught in schools, they don't realize that the guys that are copying didn't learn that way. It would be better to find out their process. Again, do not copy the masters. Seek rather what they sought. You get so much from listening to a vibe of a master and emulating. The exercises we did show you how to get more comfortable with your own sound, within your own sound, i.e. what you're really about as a musician. The exercises give students a concrete way to do that, and do them every day, and it'll show you where you're meant to be going. 2, body rhythm that Dizzy said he could tell how good a musician was just by that. Like, how did Diz and Bird practice? There are different aspects of your playing that have to be worked on separately. Touch, taste, time, tone, technique. And so you have to do all your technical exercises as well. I mean, Dizzy and Bird played out of classical books that were around. Dizzy was a messenger, and he and Bird caused music to change organically, and it was an inevitable evolution. Just to clarify, Dizzy, according to the bass player, said that he could tell how a musician played just by the way he moves. 3, how does practicing the drum influence your playing when you're a beginner? You can get into a certain place and it opens you up. How do you stay in that place? You just practice staying there. You can't allow a thought to come in your head. You must practice that type of focus. You must stay in the flow so you can access the metaphysical. Dizzy and James Moody brought it top notch night after night, and Longo had to practice how to be able to do that consistently. 4, thoughts about the metronome. Jazz is played to a pulse, and a metronome is not a pulse, it's clock time. And even your own pulse won't sync up with a metronome. The metronome was invented to convey tempo markings, not to be practiced with. So Mozart and Beethoven and Haydn, they never actually practiced to a metronome. Instead of doing those types of things, listen to African drumming from Ghana and notice the time is perfect and they're swinging, and none of them practice with a metronome, and they're not thinking mathematical subdivisions. African musicians were operating from a different process.